Hi, and welcome to another edition of Jim on the Air. I'm Jim Suriani, your host with the most, your hostess with the mostest. I'm contractually obligated to run that joke into the ground every single time. And if you've been watching or listening to the show, you're like, okay, Jim, you really do need to come up with a new joke. But that's my joke, and I'm sticking to it for the time being until something else inspires me. So anyway, I'm your host, Jim Suriani. Thank you for joining us on Jim on the Air. And very excited to offer the show both on video, on YouTube, and as a podcast. And you can catch the podcast anywhere, really. Apple Podcast, Anchor.fm, Spotify, any place where you listen to podcasts, you can catch Jim on the Air. But enough about me. Let's get into the fun of things. We are continuing our series on the Reemerge Dance Festival, which takes place at Center Stage Theater. The Reemerge Dance Festival will take place June 17th through the 20th at Center Stage Theater. And for tickets, you can go to centerstagetheater.org. Again, that's Center Stage Theater, spelled E-R, centerstagetheater.org. And you can reserve your tickets there. And you can also click on the blog tab on the website there and find out all the information on the dance festival, all the various artists that we're interviewing, and the performers, the choreographers. All their information is found on the blog tab there at Center Stage. Again, that's centerstagetheater.org, and you can check out all the details before coming to the festival. My guest this time around is Karen Laver, and she is with the Dance Network. And Karen, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. I had you on last year. We talked about stuff, you know, when the pandemic was starting, and now you're back. How you been?
You know, I'm doing okay. I feel like I've aged a lot this last year though.
Really? Yeah. I think a lot of us have. I feel like I went through like 5 or 6 years all in the last year.
Yeah. You know, you start a business thinking you're going to be busy, and then something like this happens. And it was always amusing to me over the last year, all of the people who would say, oh, I got a chance to slow down and spend time with my family and be home more. And for me, this last year launched me into a period of busyness that I have never seen before.
Wow. And that's, I was going to ask you that. How did you do through the pandemic, through the quarantine and shutdown? Because when I talked to you before, that was like last April of 2020. And it was like, well, you know, it's going to be, we all thought it was going to only be a few weeks, and then it ended up being a year and a half. How was that whole process for you?
Exhausting, if I'm being totally honest. But it really gave me the opportunity to figure out how adaptable I can be. During this entire journey, adventure, whatever you want to call it, we literally, from the time we first had to shut down back in March to now, we've only been closed unexpectedly, maybe a grand total of 5 or 6 days.
Because really?
I mean, whether it's been jumping on Zoom, going and doing classes in the park that's right next to the studio, building our own outdoor dance space as weather made it not, and you know, when it gets darker in the winter sooner, the conditions were not ideal for continuing to dance out in a public park. Right. So there's really, besides, you know, that like short period of time when we first had to shut down, and then there was a point in time where we could do outdoor classes and then had to switch again. And it's been a lot of back and forth, but
a lot, you know, of pivoting.
Yeah. At this point, we kind of feel like we're ready for whatever's next. If things are great, then we can keep moving in the direction we are. If things go back, then we're ready for that. You know, we've got all of our Zoom platforms set up. We've got our outdoor dance space ready.
Nice.
I will say I'll be really, really happy when I get to a point that I don't have to be hauling tap boards in and out of the studio for classes. I haven't had to do as much of that recently, but in the event that we get to a point where, yeah, we need to start being outside more again, you know, I feel like I got pretty buff this last year from doing that.
Bringing everything in and out and lifting heavy equipment back and forth.
Yeah.
Now, for those who don't know, where is the Dance Network located?
Yeah, so we're in what people call Nolita, which is the unincorporated area of Santa Barbara in between Goleta and Santa Barbara. Our home is in the Magnolia Shopping Center, which is nice. In between Patterson and Turnpike, but it's not the Turnpike Shopping Center. You got to go a little bit farther towards Goleta. A lot of people know it as the place with Ralph's and Bennett's. We are actually in the building where Bennett's used to be. And then when the owner sold the business, they downsized and went to a different spot within the center. And we were right. fortunate enough to get their space.
And you also have Woody's at the...
Yeah. Oh my gosh,
the Mexican restaurant is near you too.
Yeah, they're our neighbors. So we get to smell the garlic from them and then the barbecue from Woody's. And
oh my God, how do you deal when you when you're trying to dance and you smell all that food?
I guess the nice thing is because I'm dancing all the time, I get to eat a lot.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and so it balances out. You get to work it out and enjoy the food at the same time. So I'm chatting with Karen Laver. She is with the Dance Network, and they will be performing during the Reemerge Dance Festival. And I believe they will be on June 18th. Is that what you have, Karen?
Our Converge Tap company is going to be performing in the Friday show on the 18th. And we actually just debuted that piece at a competition last month up in the Bay Area, and we got a perfect score.
Oh, so, very good.
Yeah, nice. I'm hoping people will enjoy it as much as the judges did.
And the piece is called Time to Start?
Yeah.
And it's tap?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That's what we do. Well, we do a lot of things here, but that's what I'm best known for. That's kind of my specialty.
Your specialty, of course. And again, your performance will be Friday, June 18th, 7 p.m. at Center Stage Theater. And again, for tickets, you can buy tickets for each individual show, or you can buy the whole series, the whole festival, or however you want to do it. But all that information is available on the Center Stage website, centerstagetheater.org. So Karen, tell us about Time to Start. Why? Where did the title come from?
It's named after the song that we chose to use. It's actually a song by the Blue Man Group, which if you haven't seen them live, not that you can necessarily do that right now, but when things shift, they're an incredible, incredible group to watch.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Blue Man Group. I've never seen them live, but I've seen their, you know, videos, and I've seen them, you know, like in on television or whatever, you know, for brief moments, but they must be incredible live. So it's based on their piece?
Yeah, so it's based on a song of theirs called Time to Start, but it also for us felt appropriate because we kind of felt like in preparation for competition and starting to actually be able to do more live shows again, it was time to start, time to get back to what we know and love and stop being online so much all the time.
Right. So tell us, Karen, what led you into dance? What was your path, if you will, that led you as an artist into dance? How did that begin for you?
Interestingly enough, for a professional dancer and instructor, I started late. I didn't start dancing until I was 10, almost 11 years old. Which again, for most people is like, oh, that's not too bad. But many of the people that I know who do this professionally have been dancing since they were like 3 or 4. So yeah. I was old, but I think it was a good time for me because I was very much, I think I still am very much a little bit of a tomboy. And the idea of being in like all of those tutus and the like cutesy little things at like 4 years old, for me, would not have gone well. Would not have been into it. But the reason I started dancing was because I watched a lot of musicals as a kid. And the one that resonated the most with me was Singing in the Rain. And I watched it so much that one day I went to my parents and I said, I want to dance like they do. I want to be able to dance like they do. Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor especially, absolutely fantastic.
That's a great musical.
Oh yeah.
Especially if you want to
haven't seen it, you need to see it.
Yeah.
um And I remember my mom taking me to watch my first dance class to see if it's something that I would even want to do. And they were rehearsing and getting ready for a whole performance. And I was like, put me in, coach. I was ready. And my mom said, they're performing like next weekend. You don't know anything. What are you going to do? And so I had to wait until the new year because they were getting ready for their holiday performance. And I got my tap shoes for my first pair of tap shoes for Christmas from my grandmother, and then started that January and never looked back.
I was just going to say, you never looked back. That was the phrase on my tip of my tongue. That's awesome. And so then, so how long have you been doing tap then altogether?
Oh gosh, do I have to tell you that? I'm just kidding. Now
you can fidget the numbers a little.
I've been tapping for over 20 years, and I've been teaching for over 15.
Wow, that's great. Now, does the Dance Network do you do other forms of dance, or is tap mostly what you specialize in?
It's what we're known for, but we also really offer and value diversity in our dancers. So we have incredible instructors in all of our different styles. I can't teach every style. I don't teach every style because I've gotten to a point where I want to teach what I want to teach as opposed to what I can teach.
Right.
And
right.
Tap is nothing gets me as excited about dance as tap does. But we have an incredible hip hop program. My husband Kyle has been growing our ballroom and social dance program. We have an amazing professional ballerina for our ballet program, teaching our ballet program. We have breakdance, we have contemporary, we have modern. We like to do a little bit of everything. And I mean, within ballroom, there's and social dance. I mean, there's tango and salsa and swing and cha-cha and rumba and like anything you can think of. Like we have the knowledge and the expertise to do it. So we really have an incredibly diverse program with a lot of amazing teachers who know their stuff. Nice. For sure.
Very cool. Now, is there either a dance art form or just a art form in general that you've always been interested in that you haven't had a chance to maybe take on, but if you could, you would like to try out?
Brazilian samba.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And why is that?
The rhythms are just so cool, and the movement, and like being able to dive into the history and the culture, because like there's also ballroom samba, which is not the same. It's been very much like chilled out, I guess. There's it doesn't have as much of the flair. Granted, I'm not super keen on the idea of running around with like a big feather headdress and like a bikini and heels. But the idea of like really exploring that culture and the movement and how the movement ties into their history, and like that's all really, really interesting for me. Yeah. So that would be the one.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. And it's interesting, guys. I've gotten to chat with so many people now, during my show, who are involved with the dance festival. And it's so neat to see, you really don't realize how many different traditions and styles of dance there are out there, but especially the traditions when you think about, you know, Brazilian or from India or, other parts of the world, how dance is so integral into various cultures. It's not just a social thing. It's, it's a whole part of the culture.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the cool things about tap dance in relation to American history and culture is along with jazz music, one of the authentic American art forms. So one of the things we talk about in all of my classes with my tap students is the history and how that does tie into American history and, not anyone's favorite topic, but the history of enslaved people and how that, how tap ties into the roots of African culture and music, and it's just all important and essential for us to teach that to our students so they have a better understanding of where it came from and why we do what we do with that art form.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm chatting with Karen Laver. She is with the Dance Network, and they will be part of the Reemerge Dance Festival, which is a celebration of the theaters opening back up and having live performances, not on Zoom. But, you know, it's thank God we had Zoom, or, you know, we would have nothing at all. But it's great that we have the festival coming up here as a way to celebrate the return to indoor theater and having live performers and live audience and exchanging you know, back and forth between the two. And it's going to be a great festival. Again, it's June 17th through the 20th, and Karen and the Dance Network will be on Friday, June 18th. That's when they will do their piece, Time to Start. So take us, Karen, through the whole process of how you how did Time to Start begin, like, or in general, how do you usually put your pieces together? How does that kind of help?
Yeah. So Time to Start was actually what I call for myself a back pocket dance. I've had that concept in my head for like at least 7 or 8 years, and it's just been on the back burner until I had the right number of people at the skill level that I wanted. You know, it basically all of the planets had to align correctly to make the dance happen. But for me, the launching point is always finding a piece of music that gets my brain going rhythmically. I know amazing contemporary choreographers who have done entire pieces that they set the choreography and then they're like, oh, I'll figure out the music later. And as a tapper, I feel like all tap dancers have a responsibility, not just as dancers, but as musicians, to find music and create choreography that's cohesive. And I, like, for my brain, I couldn't even imagine being like, I'm gonna create a whole piece and then put the music on top of it, because I am a musician. Like, tappers are, you know, walking, talking percussionists.
Right.
So it always starts with music. And I spend so much of my time diving into finding different kinds of music, different places, different, you know, styles or genres or countries or, you know, anything to keep it interesting, because it would be really easy to be like, okay, every song I do is by, you know, from 50s rock and roll. Like, it could be really easy for me to be like, all of those are super easy to choreograph too. They've got good melodies, they're catchy, but as a choreographer and as someone who's been doing this for like half my life, you get to a point where you need a little bit of extra motivation. And so finding music that's intriguing or unique rhythmically or has some really interesting you know, switches in dynamics, that can really get my fire going to figure out, how am I going to interact with this? How do we play with this? How do we shift? You know, and people don't necessarily think about this if they don't know a whole lot about tap, but the different parts of your shoes will make different quality sounds. So you can use that also to think about, okay, I want a bassier note here, so I'm going to do a heel drop, or I want something a little bit lighter, I'm going to do a toe slap. And so that also can interplay in how you structure choreography that's musical and rhythmic and interplays with the piece that you're using.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Wow, I love that. Thank you for the lesson. It's nice to see, to get a little bit of the inside story, the inside scoop of how tap works and how you put it all together. That's amazing. So with your piece, what are you hoping the audience takes away when they leave the theater? What are you hoping to leave them with once the performance is over?
I would say that I want them to realize that tap can be anything.
Okay.
I still find a lot of students coming in and thinking that tap is what Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly were doing, which is for me as a you know, a little like an amateur tap historian. I know some stuff, but I'm working on finding out more. The interesting thing about that is that's actually not where the roots of tap came from. That's what Hollywood turned tap into to make it marketable for audiences.
Right.
Tap had been around for decades before that. And so I really want people to realize that tap can be fun and energetic, which is what this piece is. But if they wanted to continue watching my work going forward, that it can be more than that, but that it is an evolving art form, and that because tap is music, it can really be anything.
Right. Oh, that's very cool. Very cool. And again, I'm chatting with Karen Laver. She is with the Dance Network, and they will be performing at the Reemerge Dance Festival on Friday, June 18th, 7 p.m. And their piece is called Time to Start. And for tickets and information to the dance festival, you can log on to centerstagetheater.org. That's centerstagetheater.org. So Karen, I hope you don't mind if I put you on the spot a little bit. I wanted to ask some random questions. Everybody who I've interviewed for the festival, I've been asking random questions just to kind of get to know everybody, you know, in a level other than their art form. Do you mind if I put you on the spot?
I'm here. I'm ready for it.
All right. Good. So the first random question that I want to ask is, what's your favorite comfort food?
My favorite comfort food. If we're talking sweet, cookie dough.
Ooh, cookie dough. Yeah.
Yeah. If we're talking not sweet, that's a little bit trickier. Cookie dough is the first thing that comes to mind.
Or how about this? How about, what is the comfort food you go to, like on a cold, rainy day on a weekend, and you know, you just want to be all cozy at home?
Probably pho.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I love pho. That's it's so
yeah,
good.
And then you get the egg rolls with it, and you dip the egg rolls in the broth.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, yeah. I've actually done that too. Yeah. In the broth or in the sauce or both. Oh, that would be, now I'm trying to think about what I want for dinner tonight. I might have to have some Vietnamese. That's cool. And then if you were to pick a favorite fictional character, whether it be in literature or movies or television, do you have a favorite fictional character of all time?
Oh, yeah. Not Frankenstein's monster from the movies, but Frankenstein's monster from the book.
Oh, okay.
Shelley's Frankenstein. Totally different. The portrayal in the movies is so far from that's one of my favorite books of all time, so far from the actual character of Frankenstein's monster from the book. He's so intelligent and just such a complex, interesting being. And yeah.
Right. Oh, from the book rather than the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, and that's nice. I like that. Because, you know, a lot of times we don't think of the book version of Frankenstein. We think about, again, the Hollywood, their version of it. So another question I have is, what's your most treasured possession? And it could be human, it could be an object, it could be material.
My dog, Zach.
Oh, what breed is Zach?
We think he's a Corgi Chihuahua mix.
Oh, okay.
And I've had him for 11 years now, and we've been through some things together. Like there's just, I actually have three dogs, and they say you're not supposed to have favorites, and it's just, they're hands down. Because the other two, I love, they're so sweet, but when you've shared the kind of experiences that I've shared with my eldest, it's just such a different relationship, and he's such a sweetheart. And when I first got him, he had been really badly abused and was not doing okay. And just seeing the dog he was to the dog he is now, and how happy and healthy he is, it's amazing. And I love him too much.
Oh, that's so sweet. And you've had him for about 11 years?
Yeah.
So he is he 11 as well, or is he a little older?
No, he's about 14 and a half.
Okay.
But the vet says he couldn't be healthier if we tried. So he's still a spry young man at heart.
Oh, good. So you'll probably have him for at least, you know, 10, 20 years or with it.
Oh, for sure.
For sure, yeah.
At least.
At least. Oh, good. Well, you have to give Zach a hug from me when you
see him. I will.
Yeah. And so, Cameron, we just have a little bit of time left before the end of the show. But before we go, I'll just give you a chance to give out all your information, all the 411 about Dance Network, all your 411, the social media websites, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so we're the Dance Network. We are located in the Magnolia Shopping Center at 5130 Hollister Avenue. We are right across the parking lot from Ralph's. Right now, we have a big giant white tent out in front of our building. You can't miss it. When we don't have that there, we have a big giant teal sign that says the Dance Network that you can't miss either. We offer classes for students of all ages and skill levels. I think our youngest student right now is about 2.5, and my oldest is almost 80. I personally teach beginning adult students who've never tapped before in their lives. We also have students who are like, I'm 60 and I've never done hip hop and I want to come in. And they come in, but we also simultaneously teach beginning littles, intermediate advanced younger students, advanced adult students. So we really try to have a little bit of everything for everyone who wants to come hang out with us. You can find our information online at thedancenetworksb.com. That's S as in Sam, B as in boy, or S as in Santa and B as in Barbara. thedancenetworksb.com. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/thedancenetworksb. We're on Instagram at thedancenetwork_SB. We're on Twitter, but I don't remember what our Twitter handle is, and I don't know how many people in Santa Barbara really use Twitter, but we're on Twitter. And we're actually gearing up for summer camps, but we also throughout the summer still have afternoon and evening classes for children through adults too.
Nice. And again, your website is thedancenetworksb.com?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. And again, for those of you who were grabbing a pen just now, it's thedancenetworksb.com. And their piece, which will be featured in the dance festival, will be on Friday, June 18th at 7 p.m. It's called Time to Start. And for tickets to that performance or for the entire festival, you can just log on to centerstagetheater.org. Again, that's centerstagetheater.org. And you can reserve your tickets. You can also click on the blog tab and check out all the detailed information about all the artists that will be performing. Again, that's centerstagetheater.org. And if you want to know what I'm up to, if you want to follow my show, it's Jim on the Air. All one word, Jim on the Air, on social media, on Facebook and on Instagram, Jim on the Air. And you can find my podcast at various places, Apple Podcast, Anchor.fm, Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. Again, the show is called Jim on the Air. And Karen, I want to say thank you so much for joining me again. It was a delight to talk to you. And good luck with everything, and don't break a leg. I'm telling everybody, with actors, you can say break a leg, but with dancers, I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, that, I mean, interestingly enough, that goes back to vaudeville, the reason why you say break a leg.
Oh, so. It does. Yeah. It's an interesting, it's so funny to listen, to think about our different phrases that we have and their origins, but good luck with the festival and with continued success with the Dance Network. And, and for everybody watching or listening, thank you so much for joining us, and we will catch you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.